Welcome to the Wayne Bennett Podcast, celebrating West Virginia people, places, and the culture of Southern Appalachia. And here's your host, Wayne Bennett.
Welcome to Wayne Bennett's podcast. This is episode 55. We have our guest back, Mr. Dave Barksdale. Glad to have you, Coach.
Thank you for having me.
And a couple of things that we need to add to our last discussion. Meade Parsons reminded us that in a 1962 alumni game, that Howard Hurt did play in that game. Okay. We weren't sure that he played. Sure. And he said the reason he knew, because Howard's dad jumped him when he came off the court and said, "You let a bunch of high school guys beat you."
Well, I knew we were really proud of what we accomplished that night because they had a lot of Division I players, and I wasn't sure about Howard, but boy, that even makes it more special.
And another thing, we weren't sure about this, but 1976, Margaret Lucchini won first place in the state in a number two position on the girls' track team. She was the first and maybe the only girl to ever win the state championship from Woodrow. I know she was the first.
Uh-huh.
And that same year, Gina Colasurto was second in the state at the number three position. Okay. I think Jamie Higgins had the number one position.
Yeah, okay.
But she had been hurt or sick for a while, and but that was in 1976. And Gary Nichols was the coach at that time.
Is that right? Okay.
And one of the names that we didn't, when we were talking about tennis, we probably should have mentioned Barbara Deering was a lot of help. She was one of the first female tennis players that I can remember, and then she helped a little bit here and there with some of the tennis, and that would have been in the 70s or
okay.
Something.
Barbara Colasurto, and I kind of slighted Gina. I thought maybe Barbara was the one that maybe won it. It was Gina, so I apologize. Both of them were good players, I remember.
Well, Gina went on and played down at Concord,
And
I'm not sure about Barbara, but I know Gina did. But when we left off, we were talking a little basketball, and we waited before we got to 1990, and that's when the fabulous 90s. And in 1990, you guys, this is the first state championship team that you had. And can you tell me a little bit about that team?
Well, the last state championship for Beckley was 67, and so it had been 23 years. So I can just remember when I first came back, I thought Mullins and Logan were the hotbeds of basketball, and they were. And I just wanted to try to build our program up to be like Logan and Mullins. And so, you know, we worked at it, and the kids worked at it, and the coaches and all. And so it all came where we wanted in 90. And 87 team, 87-88, kind of set the tone. We went to the state semifinals. And I think the players liked playing in the state tournament, you know. I mean, that was kind of the team that got everything started as far as really kids, younger kids wanting to play and all that. But then the 90 team, when we won it, that really set the tone for all the younger kids then wanting to play for Woodrow when they saw the parade and us banquets and all. So, you know, it was just a thrilling experience for everybody.
Some of the members on that team was Tank Brown and Kevin English and Glenn Staples. I think he was a junior.
Yes, sir.
And Chris Daniels. And Logan was actually the favorite, and you guys beat them in the semis, and that was, I heard that was 13, 14,000 people at that game.
Yeah, that was the biggest crowd, one game night crowd. We had the 9:30 game, and they said that was the biggest crowd to ever be in there for a high school game. But we had played them, people that will remember this, we played them twice during the regular season. And game in Beckley, we were down 4, and Tank came down Now, why they would foul, that was the first year for the three-point shot. Now, if I'm wrong, people can let you know. I think Chris Daniels was our real long-range shooter, and I think that was the first year we had the three-pointer. Tank came down and shot a three and made it and got fouled. We were four down. He went to the foul line. Now, when I mess up, I mean, it's eating me. People who know me will realize it's bothered me all these years. But we had subbed after every made foul shot to get our presses set up. So anytime our kids went to the line on the second, after the second free throw, hopefully we had to make it. We made it, then we would set our presses, and we would get on the ball, we would off the ball and all that. So old Barksdale got caught up, just like everybody else in the armory that night when Tank made that three and went to the foul line. And for the first time, I was hoping he was going to make it, and I forgot to send a sub up there. So they took it out, and we were confused, and it was nobody's fault but mine. And Bartram, who went on to play, I think at Penn State, they threw it into him, and they hit him up somewhere around half court. He took a couple, three dribbles and shot a pretty long shot from what I remember. And darn thing went in and beat us. But if we could have done like I'd done all those other times, just gone ahead and subbed, I think we would have gone overtime. And hopefully in our armory, the place would have had a big crowd. Then we lost that one by just two, I guess. And then might have been three. I guess it was I think it was inside the three when he shot it, but I'm not sure. Anyway, then we went to Logan, and it was another shootout. And they beat us 114 to 110.
Oh, wow.
And it was, like I say, they ran, we shot good, they shot good. So then we played them in the semifinals. And it had been two close games, and I think they were ranked in top 25 in the country, and I guess undefeated probably. But anyway, early in the game, they had a breakaway. It looked like it was going to be one of them, I think, Bartram, or one of them was getting ready to dunk the ball. And out of nowhere, here came Glenn Staple. And Glenn blocked the shot. And the crowd just, I'm sure our Beckley people, and it was some kind of play, blocked the shot. And it just set the tone for the rest of the game. And we ended up beating them something like 92-60. Was it, you have a score 63? Or I think it was like 92-63, something like that. And so two close games that we'd lost regular season, and we were fortunate enough to come back and beat them in the semifinals.
Then you beat Martinsburg in the finals. That was the first state championship. And was that a close game? Or?
Yeah, they were really something. They had, I think, Basie, who went on to play at West Virginia, and they had some kids that were so quick and athletic and all, and they would pressure you anywhere and everywhere. It was really not a set thing like a lot of teams. You see a 2-2-1 press or 1-2-1-1 or something. This was one where they decided to jump you. They were, four of them might jump you, you know, and they were so quick and athletic. But here's, I was talking to Tink Brown about this yesterday. Before the championship game, at our shoot-around, we got the ball, and I just tossed it to Tink. And I said, Tink, this is your baby now. I said, you will have the ball, and you just find the open man where we can attack it, and that's what is going to happen for us. And he was something. And he got the ball to the Chris Daniels and the Kevin Englishes, and we ended up beating, it was close. I want to say 85, 82 maybe, but credit our point guard for just under extreme double team, triple teams and all that, finding the guy that would take it to where we could score. So that was our first one in the 90s, yes, sir.
In 91, all those guys were gone except Glenn Staples, I guess, as starters. But you guys still ended up with like a 24-3 record, and you had to play South Charleston in the semis, and it was like a double overtime, I think, that you lost that game, but that was...
No, 91 now, that would have been...
Oh, no, you won, I'm sorry.
We won, yeah, let's don't take that away. I was thinking, I thought we won it. They were good. They were a really good team, and that was quite a win there for us. And then we played Logan again, this time in the finals. And we started three sophomores. We lost all those kids off the 90 team. And, you know, sometime reminisce, I hope people kind of appreciate this. Ryan Colasurto, who went on to be state player of the year. Anyway, after we won at 90, we're on the floor, everybody's happy. And Ryan walks up and sticks his hands out. And I shake and he said, "Coach, just think, now we're going to win it four straight years." And that was a kid coming over from the ninth grade. We didn't have ninth graders at Woodrow back then. But Ryan Colasurto said, "Coach, that means we're going to win it four straight years." So I think people appreciate Ryan. And we about did.
Who were the other sophomores? Shay Flaner?
Shay Flaner and John Payne.
Okay.
And they all three started and took us all the way to Mike Wilson was the point guard. And we had all those seniors, Kevin and Chris and all them, to go. The only one we had is, like I said, Glenn. But we went to the finals and then Logan beat us, and it was a good game. It was close. We got beat, but it was a close game, and we started those sophomores. And so we were looking forward to the next year.
When those guys were juniors, you had like a 24-3 record, but you lost two of them, I think, in the Burger King Classic.
First two games of the year?
Yeah.
The first two games of the year. I can still see Brian Neighbors was our point guard that year, and I can still say he was sitting in the dressing room after the game in old Barksdale, and the coaches were sitting in the dressing room, and we were all so down. We had, in fact, Fairmont beat us, I think, by two the first round, and then the second round we had to play a team out of Cincinnati, and the only thing I can remember about that, holy cow, this brings back bad memories. At the end of the game, we were down. It was another fairly close game. But they had taken their four players off the foul line and put back. And they only had the shooter on the foul line. And I be darned, I say, the only thing I remember about the whole game, really, is that kid missed a foul shot and he got his own rebound. And we had all our kids up on the lane.
Nobody.
But I guess it looked kind of, I can't remember the score, but still, that was awful. You know, that kid got that rebound, and that's what we're. So we were 0-2 to start with, yes, sir.
Now, this is that same year, which you got South Charleston again. You know, you had, I think you took overtime to beat them in a regular season. But this is when Anthony Scruggs kind of evolved,
yes, sir.
Didn't he? The name, so you got to play Fairmont again. And that's when they had Prickett?
Yeah, that's one of the kids that went to Kentucky, yes, sir.
Did you play him in the semis or the finals?
That was the finals.
Finals.
Yeah, that was the finals.
A little bit different story the next time you played.
Well, yeah, they were good. And like I say, I think we lost a real close game. But again, they might have been undefeated or ranked in top 25 or something. But the only thing, I mean, I don't talk about other teams, but I was sitting there. After we, first round game, I guess the next day, I don't know if it was Thursday, we had a day off or whatever. Anyway, I'm sitting there watching the games, and Fairmont came and sat down in front of me. And I just, it's strange how you remember some things. And I watched them, and I thought, boy, y'all are a cocky bunch, boy. And one kid that was really good, not Prickett, but another kid that was really good, he was sitting down there, and he said, "Hey, manager." The manager was sitting there. He said, "Come here." He said, go up to the chess stand and get me this and that." And I thought, "God, oh my, you cocky." You know, I mean, that's just strange how you remember some things and all. But anyway, I thought, "Gone, they don't think they got a chance to lose this state tournament, I don't believe." But then we beat them, and people might remember Shay actually dunked on Prickett. And there was a building coming down from up at Maxwell Hill, coming down the hill. People remember this. It was almost like a bus stop building or something, not big. But somebody after that game went up there that night and wrote Shea dunked on Prickett in Payton, and that stayed up there for several years.
Yeah. So when we got to 94, you guys had a perfect regular season, and there was some classic games with DuPont, you know, with Scruggs and Moss locking up there, and Jason Williams.
Right.
I mean, DuPont just had some tremendous athletes going through at that time, football, basketball,
right,
everything. And but you had to play DuPont in the first, was it the first round?
Yeah, what they did back then, it wasn't like it is now, where they would seed the teams, and it was just year by year, like, I don't know, were we Region 4 or whatever we were. It was all set in stone for several years. Region 4 would play Region 2, first round of the state tournament. So there was nothing like seeding Beckley 1 and DuPont 2 or whatever.
Yeah.
So we drew them the first round. Let me tell you one good story on our buddy Soup Campbell over at Greenbrier. Do you know Soup that does their radio?
I know who he is, yeah.
Well, Soup's a good man, but I was over watching East play in 93, and I left a little bit before the game was over there, and I picked it up on radio. And Soup and his buddy were talking. We played them coming up, I guess, the next game or whatever, and Soup was saying, well, you got to give Beckley, they got a heck of a basketball team this year. And then they both just chuckled, and he said, but can you say penthouse to the outhouse? And then they went on to explain that we were losing all these players off that 93 team, and we did go on and win the state championship. And you think old Barksdale didn't use that for bulletin board material the next year? And then we, as you said, we went undefeated during the regular season, and we had beat DuPont in the, I think it was the GLS tournament, by about 1 point, I believe it was, at home. And they were ranked second. We were ranked first. And Martinsburg was really good, too. But anyway, they only lost one game. DuPont lost one game regular season. That was to us, and we went undefeated. So that was a high noon game, and it was the only sellout in the history of the state tournament in Charleston was have a sellout during the day. I remember us eating our pregame meal at Shoney's. We were having breakfast, and the game was at 12, and it was crowded in there and all of a sudden somebody walked through the door and just yelled out, said, if you don't have a ticket to the Beckley-DuPont game, forget it. It's sold out.
Well, Coach, I didn't leave this one out on purpose, but we forgot to talk about 93.
Well,
that was probably one of the greatest comebacks ever. But you guys were 25-2. You had lost to Westover, Georgia at the Omni. How did that game come about?
Well, I went to Furman University, and a guy that went to school with me, he was a ticket manager, I think it was his title, for the Atlanta Hawks. And somewhere or another, we communicated, and he said, won't you come down here and play in Omni? He said, I'll get you a game against Westover. They had won the state tournament about 4 straight years, and got this guy who's already signed with Cincinnati and all this stuff, and Wingfield, I think was his name. And I said, well, you know, we'd like that, you know, if we could arrange it. So it worked out for us to play the game before the Hawks game. And some people that's listening to this and all, were on the buses. We took 12 buses, Wayne, down to Atlanta. 12 busloads of people went to Atlanta. And Mike Moore, the insurance man uptown, was instrumental in really getting all that together. And if I'm leaving somebody else out, I apologize, but they arranged to get all these buses, and we took 12 buses. A lot of people drove, too, and we played down there. And I remember Mike saying they were going to go see Dr. Stanley, the preacher, on Sunday morning, and they went, and then he wasn't there that Sunday. I just remember him telling me that, but everything was great, except we got beat by three. So
then you guys were favored to get in. Of course, you were the favorite then to get into the finals, and you ran into Brooke in the semifinals. And I was like everybody else. I thought the game was over. I mean, when Brooke was 20 points ahead in the fourth quarter, and you had taken the starters out. How did that work out?
Well,
I know how it worked.
I will say this. After we won it in 92 and had all these players coming back, people had pretty well given us the state championship. And so we had to fight that a little bit, you know.
Yeah.
And our kids, for the most part, you know, handled that real well. But I don't have any idea. They played super, Brooke did, and we didn't play real well. And into the third quarter, we were 20 down, like you say, and we had kids on the bench that I knew would bust their behind and work, and I didn't. I just decided we're going to put all five of them out there. And they went out there and dove for the loose balls and just hustled. Now, they didn't make up any ground, but you could see our kids on the bench and hear them. They were pulling so much for them, and just kind of the atmosphere was really what you would want for the kids to sit there. And hopefully, I thought, oh, my gosh, I hope they're ready to play, you know. And so, end of the quarter, we just said, y'all want to play ball? And, yeah. And, boy, they went out there and played ball, all right.
And you could just see the momentum change. Right. I mean, it was so...
That's right.
I mean, Brooke just didn't even look like the same team because you guys just...
Oh, they came. And I give those kids that went in there in third quarter for hustling and they, like I said, didn't gain any ground, but, boy, they hustled, and our kids saw that. And, boy, you wouldn't want to... 20-point comeback very often, but boy, that was something, yeah. And people might probably don't remember this. We had to foul with maybe 20 seconds to go or something, and the kid that went to the foul line was a 90% free throw shooter, and 1-1, and darn if he didn't miss it. And that's when Stevie Ball came down and made that shot, and then they threw it in, and Ryan took a charge, and yeah, but that kid was a 90% free throw shooter. They tell me, and I don't want to say this is for sure, they tell me the Brooke fans were waiting on the coach when he walked through the tunnel there. They were so mad, but, I mean, gosh, they were trying. They were doing the best they could. I mean, our kids just, you know, came back and played tremendous.
In 95, you guys were in you ended up being a runner-up in the state, and, of course, it seemed like every year you had a Logan on year and then a DuPont, and now it's Wheeling Park. And in the championship game, it was three overtimes, and you were watching from the stands on that game. But some of the people on that team, some of the seniors, were Donnie Atkins and Darvis Cox and Robbie Rapphold, Gene Neighbors, Kevin Pinnell, Rob Lewis, Sean Mickey, Brad Harris, A.J. Hall, and Jamel Murphy. And there was a lot of seniors on that particular team, but that had to have been heartbreaking for you, I'm sure.
I got that technical. Good gosh. I guess they looked for anything. You know, I don't know, a kid got hurt from another team or the water on the floor or something, and they had a stoppage of play in front of our bench. No, I was sitting on the bench, and Gene, referee, came over, started talking to Gene. And I get so worked up at a game, my gosh, I'm so uptight and all. And I said, Gene, you don't have to be talking to that guy. Bam! And old guy turned around and gave me a technical and all. And that's all I said. But, I mean, I guess I shouldn't have said that, but I didn't. I don't care about them talking to our players. No, anyway, so I was out. But what I remember, golly, about this game, we were up with a minute to go, and they had a kid that had come over named Cruz was his last name, Rafael Cruz.
I remember him.
And he was only a sophomore that first year they had him. And we messed up and we fouled him. They had given up. I never talked to Sam Andy. Sam Andy was a great man. He and his wife were always together at the state tournaments. And I thought the world of Sam. I never asked Sam, but I thought when they came down with about a minute to play and us up, I thought pretty much Cruz just shot almost a desperation shot from way out. And I'd be darned if we didn't foul him. And he went to the line, that sophomore, under that pressure, and he made all three of them. And then we had a free throw, 1-1 with 11 seconds to go, and we missed it. And we were still two ahead. And they came down and got the ball inside and scored, sent it to overtime. So we were about five ahead with a minute to go. And that's when we fouled him. We made all three. And so then the overtimes, you know, was real, real exciting and all. And it just, one of the best games, they said, ever played in a state tournament was that game.
One consolation prize that year, Woodrow Wilson won the golf championship, didn't he? And your son Ty was on that team. And
yes, sir.
I guess it's been the only golf championship that Woodrow has ever won.
Yes, sir.
And he had guys like Adam Kaminsky and the two Spicer boys, Shannon and Jason, and your son Tyler, and Mike Joyce, Timmy Brooks, Kenny Fly.
Right.
And there had been some good teams at Woodrow. They had some runner-up finishes back in the 70s, but nobody had ever won it. And that was
quite a thrill, too, you know, for that. They had a reunion here a couple of years ago, that team, and most of them came back, and I think they had a big time, they said so.
Well, I remember one year that Greenbrier East won it. There's been around 69, 70. But Woodrow was good when they had Jim Justice and some of those guys. They were Bill Martin and Gary Sudfin. But East was good, too. Yeah. And they couldn't, I don't know whether they took one team out of the region back then or not. But East won it one year. But most time they were losing to a Wheeling team or something. But now, 96... a team you had beaten twice, Fairmont. This one, I think Derek Jones was on that team. But you had to play Fairmont in the semis, and they got you in the semis.
Yeah, they sure did. To go back, we lost, as you said, Neighbors and Pinnells and Atkins. And you read them off there. We lost a lot of seniors. And Oak Hill had Cornelius Jackson coming back. I'm a blank. Good night. It's no fun getting old sometime. You can't remember. But Monty Wright and all, tremendous team coming back. And so the word pretty much around was, this is Oak Hill's year. And I can understand why they were saying that, because they were good. But somebody forgot to tell Brian Slay that we weren't supposed to go to the state tournament that year. So a couple things happened over at the Memorial Building. One, Brian Slay was about sitting in the first row over there making shots. He was shooting long range and shooting just tremendous. And then one of their kids toward the end of the game missed a dunk that would have pretty well sealed our fate. He missed it. And we ended up winning that game. And I think that was when the talk was, my gosh, Oak Hill's probably one of the top teams in the state, not even going to get to go to the state tournament. Maybe that's when they started kicking around this new policy that came in effect sometime.
Yeah.
And about taking two win and runner-up from your section or whatever, play win and runner-up from the other ones. Maybe that's when it started talking, because Oak Hill during that 90s, they had a real good ball club every year.
And you lost to Fairmont in the semis. But you'd beaten them twice during the regular season, I think. And,
one thing about that game, daggone, I would have bet you a Coca-Cola that Fairmont was finished the last regular season game they played at the Armory. And I would have bet you that that team was about to come apart without Babe Stingo, great friend of mine, okay? And so I'm not saying this to cut other teams down. Please, people, don't think I'm doing that. I'm just telling you some things that I saw that I thought. One kid, the starter that was really good, toward the end of the game, he had come over evidently and taken his shoes off. And Babe told him to go back in the game, and he didn't even have his shoes on. And just a few things like that you notice and all. And so I really thought they were finished. And some way or another, between the last regular season game and the state tournament and all, they got it together. And they had kids on that team that went on to play at Marshall and all that. I mean, they were really good. And they beat us in the semifinals in a real, real close game. And then they won it the next night. Yes, sir.
Something else I wanted to point out in the 90s, too. We mentioned Ty, but your daughters were cheerleaders for you and kind of made it a family affair with the coach and the fam daughters.
Yeah, they were both cheerleaders. It's not funny, I guess, but it is funny in a way. In 91, I think that's when they took the head off the mascot. What were they, the Wildcats? And my daughter, they do flips and all that during timeouts. And so somewhere or another, I think my daughter did some flips and ended up down there toward the Logan cheering section. And they were getting on her pretty good. And she's pretty quiet overall, but I think maybe she was yelling, not at them, but let's go and all that stuff. And anyway, at the end of the game, some way some of our people got hold of that darn Wildcat head. And I won't say who was involved and all, but I'm afraid my daughter might have instigated that with the way she went down there toward their cheering section. But
well, maybe the statute of limitations is over now. In 97, this kind of started the Drew Smith, Jamal Bradley, and Tamar Slay, right. The era there. And
Derek was a senior that year, too.
And you guys beat Fairmont in the finals. Tell me a little bit about that year.
We had a real good basketball team. You know, you have Tamar. One thing about Tamar Slay, that the people in Beckley, and I don't want to leave anybody out. I'm just going to give a few illustrations. Beckley was following Beckley basketball a lot back then, and people would see about grade school players. And some of our kids came over. By the time they get to high school, they were pretty well known by everybody in the community. And that's just Tank Brown, Kevin English, maybe. Drew Smith, as you mentioned, they were Crescent. Gene Neighbors, Anthony Scruggs, Ryan Colasurto, Jamel Bradley. Those were names. By the time they got to Woodrow, they were already known. This is going to be a real good player. Mm-hmm. Now, Tamar wasn't in that category because he was a guard over at Park, fairly good player, but nothing where people going to run and tell their buddies, boy, wait till you see Tamar Slay play. But between his sophomore and junior year, Tamar grew from about 5'10", 5'9", to 6'5", between his sophomore and junior year. And you go one step further, between his junior and senior year, he grew from 6'5", to 6'8". So he's a 6'8", senior, and went to Marshall and grew one more inch. But he was a guard at Park, handling the ball and all that. So when he grew to 6'5", he could still handle the ball like he did at 5'10". And then when he grew to 6'8", and that's probably that stretch. I remember in the state tournament, it might have been his junior at 6'5", but he brought the ball down the court and looked just like a pro bringing it down and just made a pass or something. And I thought right then, I said, my gosh, I believe this kid can be a pro. And that was an inkling then when he grew. So he wasn't a household name like a lot of our kids were. But
well, I remember him in junior high. He actually played football for me.
And
he wanted to play, and he was a little old skinny thing. And he ended up, he started both ways. He was an excellent defensive player. But I was scared he was going to get hurt because he was so small.
Right.
I couldn't believe it. 2 or 3 years later, how big he was.
That's right.
Great family. Great kid.
Gosh.
I mean, just done a lot for basketball since left the area to come back several times.
That's
had
right.
camps. You've helped him in several camps. And just tremendous family, period.
I agree.
But you guys beat Fairmont in the finals that year in 1998. You made the finals, and you had Brad Lambert. I think he'd come up.
Yeah, Brad started in 98. Brad Lambert was kind of the one that unsung hero, so to speak. And defensively, he was really good. And, you know, sometimes you have breakdowns, and you need somebody to kind of see beforehand that, oh, this kid's not doing what he should do and help side and all that. Brad Lambert would cover for us. He was he fit, just stepped right in. I guess we lost Derek, and boy, Derek was some kind of player. But as far as another starter coming in, that would have been Brad. And Brad, along with Alderman Drew and all the rest of them.
Well, Kevin Harrington was up there, too.
Yeah, Kevin came in. That's right. Kevin came in, too, and he was a junior that year.
Yeah.
Now, he was a sophomore in 97. Am I right? I think he was with Jamel and Tamar, or was... Did he come over in 98? I'm a blank right now. Derek was a senior in 97, and that was with... and then Drew was 98, 99, and 2000.
Yeah,
so Drew came over.
97 when Derek was
over. Okay, and then Drew came, and then Kevin, I guess, came about the same time. So I should remember.
Yeah,
sometime,
it's hard to
sometime keep... I just... tell people I just can't remember like I used to, but anyway.
You remember who you beat in 98 in the finals?
98 was, that would have been 97. Oh, Wheeling Park, wasn't it?
It was.
Here's the old thing about, this was good. Boy, people are going to like this. Old Cruz, you remember how he came over as a sophomore and made those three free throws to pretty well get him back in the game, and he was a senior now, okay? So... we had the last game, and Fairmont had the earlier game. And Cruz walked by the TV cameras there, walking off the court, and they had him deadpan right in his face. And he looked at that camera, and he said, "We want Beckley. We want Beckley." Well, we won and got back to the hotel there, motel, and some way they played that thing. And our kids saw that. And the next night after we beat them, Coach James Lewis, who did a tremendous job for us, after we won it, he came in. He said, "Fellas," and everybody got quiet. He says, "The only thing I'm going to tell you, you better be careful what you wish for." And our kids went crazy, you know, with old Cruz saying that and then us beating them. And James saying that was so appropriate. And our kids really liked that, so.
Well, 99, you had, that's the year Smith was a senior, and he broke his finger during the regular season.
It was out a while, yeah.
And missed a few ball games, but you guys lost to Capitol in the semis of the state tournament.
Overtime.
And overtime.
And
you got to mention a few of the seniors, Travis Font and Kevin Schaefer, James Wilhite. But I think it was a double overtime with Capitol.
It might have been. It might have been.
Now, 2000, I don't know too much about that 2000 team. Do you remember?
Well, one thing I remember in 99, remember Drew Fitzwater was it Drew Fitzwater?
Matt Fitzwater.
I'm sorry. Drew's the one playing for us now. Tell people now, he's about 6'4", now he's a ninth grader. So I was watching him yesterday at practice. I'm sorry, Matt. Matt's family and all. It was Matt Fitzwater. Was guarding a kid from Capitol Full Court. And... down on that end down there, he dribbled and actually stepped out of bounds. And some way or another, he'd already, you could just see, he was getting ready to give the ball up. And then some way, I think he caught a foul on Matt or something. And that was a kind of part of the game where we were about to get him, you know. And then I just remember that kind of didn't help us anyway. They didn't give us that call. And you know, they ended up beating us. They were good. But I think the 2000, wasn't it Capitol again, beat us?
I think it was.
And Capitol beat us again in the finals, and that's when they had that run. I think North Marion, the year we got beat 99, North Marion won, beat them by about two in the finals.
Yeah.
And then the next year, Capitol beat us in the finals. And
well, Coach, we're going to stop it right there. I wanted to get through the 90s, and I'd like to get you back and talk a little bit more, if you don't mind.
Well, I've enjoyed reminiscing. I sure don't want to ever people think I'm saying something bad about the other team. Just things I remembered, and I hope people found it interesting. But I enjoy reminiscing like that. It brings back a lot of good memories.
We'll get you back, and we'll see what's happened since the year 2000. And anybody else out there who'd like to be on our show, get in contact with me, and we'll get you on here. Remember, awbennett50@gmail.com. And remember, if you're not dead yet, you're not done yet. Till next time, God bless you.